It is so very good to see all of you here this morning. As I am looking out in the audience, I see we do have some people that are visiting. I believe some of you for the very first time. It is always our intention, always our desire here at the Lindo Church of Christ to make all of you that are visiting feel so welcome that hopefully you will want to come back and worship God together with us again and to study with us from the Word of God whenever you are able and willing to. My sermon this morning is a sermon that I thought was necessary because I am convinced that there are multitudes of people out in the world who profess to be Christians who, when it comes to their relationship with God and Christ, they are more convinced than they are converted. And what we're going to be doing in our sermon this morning, we're going to be looking at this danger of having a relationship with God where all you actually are is just convinced about the truth. Rather than having the type of relationship that God wants you to have with Him, which is a relationship of conversion to Him as your Lord and Master and your King. A sermon this morning, if I can get the machine going, is going to begin by talking about hell. How many of you remember how young you were before you comprehended hell? I remember at a very, very, very young age, I understood enough about hell to know that I don't want to go there. I understood enough about hell to understand fire, and I didn't like fire, and I didn't like being burned. So I think one of my earliest conscious knowledges of truth was, hell's a place I don't want to go. The scriptures I would like to look at with you are Matthew 25 and Acts chapter 24. First turn to Matthew 25 and verse 30. If you have the outline, you can read along with me. Here in the outline, in Matthew 25, verse 30, it says, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is just one verse, and I found multitudes of verses about hell. Usually you find it described with torment or fire. And I come to the conclusion that the multitude of people probably in this country, the vast majority, actually believes in hell. And I don't think those that believe in hell want to go there. I would conclude that the majority of the country believes in hell and doesn't want to go to hell. And so they believe the truth about this place. Oh, over in Acts chapter 24, let's go back to it right now, in verse 25. Here it says, now as you reason about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Now the text here, Felix is afraid. The old King James translation says, Felix trembled. Why did Felix tremble? Why was Felix afraid? He was thinking about righteousness and the fact that he probably wasn't living a righteous life. He was probably thinking about the sin that was in his life and the unrighteousness that was in his life. And it talks about how he was also thinking about judgment to come. And I believe the reason he was afraid was because he believed in hell. He believed in this place of torment. And he realized because of his unrighteousness and the fact that judgment was going to come in the future that he was going to end up in hell. But please notice, you can believe in hell, be afraid of hell, not want to go to hell. And still, that doesn't make you a Christian. All Felix was convinced about the truth of hell. There's nowhere in the scriptures where we see where Felix eventually obeyed the gospel. To the contrary, he says, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. And from all of our knowledge, there never was a convenient time. He died, probably separated from God. And yes, judgment day is coming. He had reason to be afraid. And then I believe there are those in the world that are convinced about Jesus. The people who believe in hell and don't want to go to hell, they are told that Jesus died for their sins. They are told that Jesus is the Christ. They are told that Jesus is the Son of God. And one of the popular false teachings that you find out in the world today is this idea of just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And everything is going to be okay, and you will avoid going to this place called hell. Over in Matthew, in chapter 16 and verse 15, here you have Jesus asking the disciples the all-important question. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. those who are Christians come to this conclusion. We read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We read about the virgin birth. We read about the miracles that Jesus performed. We read about his death, burial, and resurrection. And from these things that we read about in the Gospels, we come to the conclusion that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want to be quite frank with you. That is not a difficult conclusion to come to. Unfortunately, there are those in the world who think that coming to that conclusion is all that Christianity is. And all you have to do is be convinced that Jesus is the Christ. The next text is Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, which says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is a very popular verse used by those who teach once saved, always saved, in faith only. And they say, see, all you got to do is come to the conclusion that Jesus is the Christ, openly confess it, you're saved, everything's okay. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior. I believe the great danger of this false doctrine is it leads to the idea that all you have to do is be convinced about Jesus and who he is and say, okay, you can keep me from going to hell. Thank you. Bye. To where all you have to do is agree with who he is. I call it giving mental consent to an historical fact. Let me explain it to you this way. I believe George Washington was the first president of the United States of America. But you know, I never met him. I've never seen him. I've read about him in books. And I come to the conclusion that those history books are probably telling me the truth about the man. And so therefore, I give mental consent to an historical fact. George Washington is and was the first president of the United States of America. I am convinced of that. But I am not converted to George Washington. You can be convinced that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, but not be converted to him as the Christ and the Lord and the King and the Savior. You can be convinced of the truth without being converted to Christianity. And unfortunately, there are those in the world who think simply being convinced is Christianity. And then there are those who I believe that are convinced about baptism. Even though there may be great disagreement out there in the denominational world, I believe that there are those that read the scriptures and believe exactly what they teach. For instance, Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, a very common verse that we read quite a lot. It says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. This is not a difficult verse. As a matter of fact, it is so simple, it is very difficult to try to maneuver your way around it. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Bonk. There it is. It means exactly what it says. And you need to realize there are folks, they will read this and they'll go, yes, I understand it. And I think baptism has something to do with salvation. And then there are other verses such as Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. It says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Again, this is one of those verses that just so straightforward, you can't maneuver around it. That something is actually happening to an individual when they're baptized, that they're baptized into Christ, they're baptized into his death. Something is happening here. Baptism is important. And then again, in Acts 2:38, a verse that all of us probably can quote. And then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so again, it's just simply straightforward. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, I'm just using these three verses because, you know, we talk about faith only, and people convinced about faith and convinced about Jesus and thinking that's Christianity alone. You need to realize, I'm not just talking about folks out there in the denominations. I'm talking about people in the Church of Christ too. I'm not talking to folks out there, I'm talking to us. I believe there's a danger of people thinking that all I've got to do is be convinced about baptism. And I don't want to go to hell. I acknowledge Jesus is the Christ. I accept that. Now go baptize me. Now I'm saved. I believe Jesus is the Christ. I've confessed that. I've been baptized. I got a one-way ticket to heaven. You can be convinced about hell convinced about Jesus being the Christ, convinced about baptism even, and not be converted. Acts 2:38 does not say, be baptized for the remission of sins. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. There's a very big word there that we're going to be focusing the rest of our lesson on. And that is repentance. To be quite frank with you, it takes very little effort to stand before someone and say, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. There, I just said it. It was quite easy, and I actually believe that. It takes very little effort to be baptized and immersed in water. I mean, you get wet for a little while, but we got towels back here, and you can dry off real quick. Quite easy. You're not going to drown. I remember one lady I had to be baptized one time. She grabbed the side and had to get her hand off. But you're not going to drown. It's quite easy. What I want you to realize is what it means to be a Christian is not knowing and believing the truth about Jesus and baptism and hell. It is being converted to Christ and the changing of your life and giving yourself over to Jesus as your Lord and your Christ and your King. It is a conversion, not just being convinced about the truth. Look at this, if you will. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 44, Jesus is talking about, I believe, this exact same principle and concept. When he says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now look at this. They're calling him Lord, Lord. They're acknowledging who he is. If being convinced about who Jesus is all it takes, then that should be enough. They're calling him Lord, Lord. But the problem is, they're not doing the things which he says. They're not converted. They're convinced, but not converted. The next text that teaches the same thing is over in Matthew chapter 7. On the outline, I'm beginning now in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. These individuals here perceive themselves as being Christians. They talk about all these things they've done in the authority and in the name of Christ. They've cast out demons. They've prophesied. They've done wonders in his name. But the truth of the matter is, they weren't prophesying the word of God. They were not practicing Christianity. They had gone off on their own doing something that was their own imagination that had nothing to do with the authority and the will of God. The text says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But notice what he says, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The problem in the text is they were convinced Jesus was the Lord, but they were not converted to him as their Lord. When you use the word Lord, that is describing a submission where we are slaves and he is the master and we do and obey exactly everything he says. They call him Lord, Lord, but he isn't their Lord. They're not doing his will. If we want to be in heaven and avoid hell, then we've got to do the will of the Father in heaven by actually being converted. There's another verse that teaches the same thing. It's in Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. Sounds kind of like Lord, Lord, doesn't it? They say the right words. They're honoring him with their lip, but there's a problem. And the problem is their heart is far from me. Convinced, yes. Converted, no. The heart is far from him. We have a song that we sing that discusses this battle of the wills. And basically the song starts off to where there's a time in our life when it's all me and none of thee. And then as you go through the song, it becomes part of me and part of thee. Talking about God when I say thee. And then the conclusion of the song, it comes to where it's supposed to be, which is none of me and all of thee. The Bible talks about what I call half-hearted relationship with God. Look at this, you will, in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 10. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah has not turned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord. Now the problem with Judah, the nation of Judah, is that they turned to the Lord, but it was only in, now look at this word, pretense. Open show. Going through the motions. Whenever I read this text, I think of a Jew over there going, okay, I've done my sacrifice, check. All right. I went to the temple, check. All right. Let's see. I observed the Sabbath day, check. I'm going to heaven. But their heart was far from him. Their relationship with God was only through open action show. Now, let's just bring that down to practical application today. How many of you think about your relationship with God this way? Baptized, check. Confessed, check. Went to church, check. Drank the grape juice, check. Ate the bread, check. Sang the song, check. Bowed my head, check. Stared at the preacher, check. You're staring. And then you think, bottom line, I'm saved. I've done all my duty. I checked off everything I'm supposed to do. So therefore, everything's okay. If you view your relationship with God as a list that you've got to check off and you're going to heaven, you've missed it. You can be having a relationship with God that is in pretense, that is going through the motions, and yet your relationship with God is not with your whole heart. That's exactly what Judah was doing, going through the motions of a relationship with God, when in reality God was looking at their heart and realizing their heart was far from him. Honoring him with their lips, going through the motions. But he knows what's really in the heart. It's put this way in the New Testament. In James chapter 1 and verse 8, speaking about a double-minded man, he says he's unstable in all his ways. Do you understand what double-minded means? Again, that's the idea of half of my brain is for me, and half of my brain is for God. I'll do what God wants half the time. Hey, half pretty good. I give you half of my life, Lord, half of my heart, and the other half I'm going to keep for me. I'm going to do what I want to do over here, okay? Surely that'll be enough for you. He says about this type of individual, they're unstable in all their ways. He goes further in Revelation, and speaking in Revelation about the lukewarm, he says, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So how do you think the Lord feels about someone being half-hearted? How do you think he feels about someone being double-minded, where half of their mind is for him and half of their mind is for the Lord? He says about this, you're lukewarm. Again, that's kind of half-half. You make me want to vomit. God does not want half of anything. He does not want half of your heart, half of your life. He doesn't want 3/4 of your heart and 3/4 of your life. He wants all of your heart and all of your life. In Psalms 119 and verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Then again, in Psalms 111 and verse 1, praise the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. What you see here is someone seeking God with their entire heart. That is conversion. That is the type of change that the Lord wants. That is the type of relationship that the Lord wants from us, with our entire heart totally given over to Him. I was talking to you earlier about going through the motions of worship. It is true that when we worship God, He wants us to worship Him in truth. But please realize this. You can go through the motions of worshiping God in truth and have it completely rejected by God. Do you know you can sing a song and not even think about God? Not even know what you're saying. I had memorized all the songs in the songbook before I was 12. Although I didn't know a single one of the notes, I knew the words. There's a danger in that. And that is you quit looking at the words. And you quit looking at the message. And you just sit there and go, time to sing. Ba 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 ba. I sang the song. Oh, time to take the Lord's Supper. Okay, bow my head. Time to stare at the preacher. You know, you can take the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day at the Lord's table and be eating and drinking condemnation to yourself because you're not discerning the Lord's body. He's looking in your heart. Yes, He wants us to obey by truth, but He's looking in your heart. Please make sure that when you come together in this assembly, it is not just in pretense going through the motions of worship, but that it is real worship from your heart to the Lord, singing from your heart to the Lord, praying to God from your heart, focusing on the death of the Son of God, feeding spiritually on the Word of God, giving back to the Lord a portion of that He's blessed you with cheerfully. In every aspect of worship, He's looking at your heart. So please don't think of your relationship with God as a checklist that you go down and say, check, 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 I'm going to heaven. Because you can check down every single one of those in your heart, be far from Him. Because all you are is convinced and not converted. What the Lord wants is for you to give your whole heart to Him, not part of it. Look at this, if you will, in the close of the lesson. In Romans chapter 12, this is one of the best verses I know of that helps us understand conversion. Now, we keep using this word conversion in the sermon and the idea of being converted. If you use that verb, it means it's the idea of this is where you were and this is where you're supposed to be. A change is taking place. If you convert money, you're taking it from one type of money into another type of money. If you convert electricity, you're taking it from one voltage into another voltage. To convert a person, you're taking them from where they were to where they are supposed to be. It is a change taking place in the individual. And again, that one word is called repentance. Remember, repent and be baptized. It's not just be baptized. It is repent and be baptized. This text here in Romans chapter 2, chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, is the best text I know of to help you understand conversion. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, let's stop right there. Living sacrifice. Now then, could you imagine when you're trying to sacrifice an animal, you say to the animal, okay, I'm just going to take half your body. And I'm going to let you keep the other half. That doesn't work, does it? No. Whenever you sacrificed an animal, you gave it all. All of it. Whenever you give yourself as a sacrifice, you give all of you. All of you. Your entire life. Everything connected to you. Your family, your job, your time. Everything is given over to the Lord. He does not want half of anybody. And if all you're going to give is half, you're not truly converted the way the Lord wants you. He continues in the text, and he says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There again, concept of conversion. A transformation taking place. This is the way you were at one time, living in sin, but now you are transformed by the changing of your mind, the changing of your heart that leads to the changing of your life. And the last part of the text, he says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The old King James renders this, that you may demonstrate what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. You see, in our lives as Christians, there's a battle of the wills. Is it going to be what I want, or is it going to be what He wants? The goal is to where is His will that dominates and controls. You remember? Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does, what is it? The will of my Father in heaven. The battle is with my will. And it's got to be all of thee and none of me. His will dominating and controlling my life, because He is the Lord and we are the slave. We are the servant who simply obeys and follows totally with a whole heart of trust and faith. Look at this again in Matthew chapter 10. Beginning in verse 37, it says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." That's the degree of sacrifice. If you love your family members more than Christ, and you're more concerned with pleasing your mother or your father or your children than you are serving Christ, He says, you're not worthy of me. Because you're not truly converted. And He goes on in the text, and He says, beginning now in verse 38, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it." Now here He's talking about, again, our relationship with Him. What is it He wants from us? You take up your cross. Now when you think of taking your cross, does that sound like pleasant to you? That means you're going to have some serious suffering and problems if you're going to be a Christian. There are going to be trials, there's going to be tribulation. You take up your cross, and what do? Look at this. Follow after me. If you will not follow, if you will not do what He says do, if you will not do the will of the Father in heaven, all you are is convinced about the truth, but you're not converted to the Lord. He wants you to follow by faith with your whole heart. He puts it another way over in Luke, saying basically the same thing. If anyone desires to come after me, what are you supposed to do? Let him deny himself. Is that an easy thing to do? As I told you, it's the battle of the wills, isn't it? What I want to do, and here's what the Lord says. And a lot of times we think, well, but I want to go this way. But the Lord says go this way. But I want to go this way. There's the battle. If you're truly converted, you deny yourself. And it is not what you want. You remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when He was praying? What was His statement? "Not as I will, but as your will. Let your will be done." There is the denial of self. There are going to be directions that you want to go in that are pleasing to you. There's going to be directions you're going to want to go in, because if you go the way the Lord wants you to go, there's going to be a cross you've got to carry. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be problems, maybe even with your own family, with your friends, or possibly at work. You deny yourself. You don't love other people more than Him. And you take up your cross, the text says, and you follow me. Follow. Follow by faith. And then finally in Luke chapter 14:33. "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Does that sound pretty blunt and straightforward to you? He's saying, you cannot be my disciple unless you are willing to forsake 50% of what you got. No. All. He wants all of your life, all of it. Not 50%. Not half-hearted, to where you are lukewarm, double-minded. That makes the Lord want to vomit. He does not want a relationship with you to where you are convinced about hell, convinced about Jesus, and convinced about baptism. He wants a relationship with you where you are converted, transformed, changing of your heart, leading to the changing of your life. He wants you to give yourself as a living sacrifice. That is the degree of the commitment that the Lord requires of you if you are going to truly be His disciple. The reason I wanted to preach this sermon is because I am thoroughly convinced. Isn't that a terrible thing to say when I'm talking about convinced and converted? But I am thoroughly convinced that there are people in the body of Christ whose whole relationship with God is one where they are convinced about the truth, but they really don't have a wholehearted relationship with God because they're not converted. Repent. That's a big word, isn't it? I told you it's easy to confess your faith. It's even to even come to that conclusion. It's easy to be baptized. Where the battle is to take my will and deny it. And let go of waning. And let the Lord be the Lord of my will and my life and my heart. I hope that you're willing to make that commitment. If you've obeyed the gospel already, I hope you will understand the magnitude of the commitment the Lord desires of you in your relationship with Him. And when you have this relationship of a wholehearted sacrifice given over to the Lord, you will follow by faith. And at the end of your journey, you will be in heaven. Those who do the will of the Father in heaven are the ones who will be with the Father. If you haven't obeyed the gospel and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you are willing to openly confess your faith, this will be the easiest place you ever do it. You'll be before other believers. And if you're willing to repent, there's the big word, to give yourself over and commit it to the Lord as your Lord, as you obey His will, turning from your sins and following His teachings by faith, we'd be glad to assist you and baptize you, just as we read in the scriptures earlier, for the remission of your sins.